Welcome to All About Dog. We have learned a whole lot, haven't we, Julia?
Oh, yes. A lot more than I thought I could know.
It is a very complicated decision to add another family member. I mean, I never knew there was so much to know about rescues, so much to know about breeders.
It's crazy. I didn't realize half the stuff that they do in their jobs, you know, to just even find out which type of dogs they bring in, how they bring in the cats, how they bring in maybe even not even dogs or cats. You know, in the rescue, we learned that they find hamsters. You know what I mean? It's just crazy to learn all the stuff that these places do and kind of what some of these breeders do. And it's their full-time job. You know, I mean, I'm nervous about adding one dog to my family, but you know, they get those big litters that they have to raise. So it's crazy. And, you know, I think the one thing that I really want to learn about the most is the training aspect of things now, you know,
right.
I know we're going to,
because the breed will help determine what kind of training it needs, right?
Right, right. Exactly. And that's the other thing that we haven't even dove into yet is
the breed.
Right. you know, that's a whole nother animal. You just decide, okay, you want to get a dog or a cat. And now you got to decide what breed.
That's right. So we're really, really blessed today to have Judy Wilson with us. She is with the Lawrenceville Kennel Club, and she is very, very qualified to talk about training. She'll give us her own bio in a minute, but I just want to say, I think it's going to be another one of those episodes where we learn a whole lot. What do you think?
I think so. I'm not going to say I think. I'm going to say I know because, you know, again, I could use the help in this side of things, even with my own animals. So I'm ready to dive in and see where it takes us.
There you go. Well, with that, I'd like to welcome Judy Wilson. So Judy, so glad you're here with us today. Would you please tell us a bit about yourself?
All right. Well, I'm glad to be here, Kathy. Thank you for asking me. I am a certified professional dog trainer. I am an AKC Canine Good Citizen Evaluator, as well as an AKC Temperament Test Evaluator. I am a member of the Lawrenceville Kennel Club, where I am the puppy class instructor. That's part of their training program. I'm also a member of the Shetland Sheepdog Club of Georgia and a supporter of Sheltie Rescue of Georgia. I'm currently in Lawrenceville. I have two Shelties currently and four cats.
All kinds of animals.
All kinds. Regular zoo.
That's pretty cool. So the reason why we wanted you on today was because the topic we're discussing today is training. A lot of people feel like they just get the dog and, you know, in the old days, we just put them outside and back on a chain and let them hang outside. And we've luckily come to know that that's not the best thing to do with them. So now training has become an important thing, but why?
Okay. Well, it's important because training encompasses the entire behavior of the dog. The dogs are brought into our families or expected to become a companion to us. So they have to learn how to do that. Training, sometimes we put it as a very specific task, like shaking hands or learning tricks. But training is about the whole behavior, like potty training, where to go, how to tell the human that they have to go, where to eat. All of those things are part of the training. So it is about teaching that as part of the whole family unit behavior. Things like riding in a car. We are going to take our dogs with us places, but that is something we have to teach and train the dog to do. Not every dog is comfortable riding in the car, but there are training techniques that teach that teach the dog how to behave in our family unit. The training also applies to both humans and dogs. Humans have to learn to speak dog. We have to learn to read and interpret what the dog is trying to tell us, as well as we are teaching the dog what we want, the behaviors that we're expecting as our companion.
Cool. Julia, you have any questions off the top of your head at the beginning?
No, I'm just sitting here listening to the train your dog in the car side of things. Cause you know, my dogs, they don't necessarily misbehave in the car, but my German Shepherd is not the best car rider. And there's something about the car that gives him anxiety, and he just I have to put him in the trunk of my big car and let him just have his own space back there. Cause if not, he will literally try to climb in my lap. So I'm very, very interested to hear where this conversation takes us and some tips that I can even take away.
Great. Well,
absolutely. I mean, something like that, you have to identify the issue. And you said anxiety. Well, is that anxiety because they're in a moving vehicle? Maybe that because that movement is not something that is familiar or comfortable. Or is it anxiety simply being separated from you? So there's conditioning techniques, training techniques that you use to try to teach the dog not to be anxious, that this is a normal part of its environment is riding in the car.
Yeah, it's very, very true. And, you know, part of it too, is I think, you know, we got him as a rescue and it brings it back to that side where we don't really know what he went through and why the car makes him so nervous. And maybe it has something to do with that. And, you know, so it'll be interesting to see how we can help overcome some of those things, because he really is the best dog out in the public. He loves being out, but the process of getting him out is just so overwhelming for him that we hate to bring him places because we feel like we're doing almost too much, you know, stress on him than making it an enjoyable experience.
Absolutely.
So that brings up a good question. She got him as a rescue. He obviously was a puppy. Is there a better age to start training? Or obviously when you get them as a rescue, they're that age, but...
Well, the earliest you can start training, the better. Part of training is socialization. And when we use that word, sometimes we don't define it well, but really socialization is the exposure to sights, sounds, smells, touch, people, anything that is within the dog's environment. So socialization at a very, very, very early age is important. When you get a dog from a reputable breeder, the breeders will usually start that process from day one, handling the puppies, giving sounds, giving playtime, all of these things that help to do that very, very early socialization. Of course, when we get an adult dog, we don't know what kind of socialization went on. We don't know what that environment, what was learned from that environment. So it is difficult to tell. But again, we start training immediately on that, trying to identify what the dog has learned and then trying to figure out what we need to do to retrain that response.
That's interesting that you say that too with starting training from day one, because I even think I had the misconception of there is a thing called too early to train your dog, meaning they're just, you know, they're puppies. They don't understand. They're trying to figure out where they're at. So that's pretty interesting to hear that breeders and, you know, trainers start training their dogs from very, very young ages. Cause I mean, I don't know about you, Kathy, but how many times we get people that come in and tell us, oh, well, they're just a puppy. We haven't started training yet. And we're just like, oh, we understand. But you really should. I didn't even think about the training part being the socialization is a huge, huge milestone in a dog's life to becoming, you know, the quote unquote perfect companion.
Absolutely. The dogs are always learning from all of their senses, right? So as a puppy, they're born with that sense of smell. And then as those senses develop, as their eyes open, as their hearing develops better, as they start to explore, what they are encountering right there is part of that socialization. I have two friends right now that have litters of puppies that they're working with at just, you know, a few weeks old. The puppies are now big enough to leave the whelping box from their mother, and now they're in a playpen. And that playpen has been set up with all sorts of toys of all textures and types and sounds. And all that does is help to give more context to that puppy's world. And then once that puppy is old enough to actually go to a new home, it's not surprised by the sound of a bell because they've heard tinkling noises in their playpens or in their little play areas. So all of that's very important. There are some things that you don't train a dog early to do. If you're going to do sports or running or frisbee or anything like that, you have to physically let the dog develop. You can harm the dog's muscles and joints if you start too early on certain types of training. But basic home manners, basic behavior training like that, it is never too early to start.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's really, really interesting. Now, let me ask you another question that I've heard from people before: my dog's just not trainable. Now, is that something that's actually, and I know it's so funny, but when it comes to, let's just say, you know, temperament, and some dogs are born with a certain temperament, is that something that you actually think is the case? Or is that something where all dogs are trainable depending on age and circumstance and, you know, kind of what they've been through? I've always wondered, is it true that there really are dogs that are just not trainable?
Well, maybe in the sense of what we want to train them. I think all dogs are trainable. There are some that will never learn certain things just because of whatever reason. One of my Shelties right now will not hold something in its mouth. So I can't continue with the obedience training. I have not been successful so far to find the right reward for the dog to hold a dumbbell in its mouth. And it doesn't hold anything. I can give it anything, and it does not like holding something. So we have changed that we're not going to be training that obedience. We've gone to something else. So I don't think a dog will never learn something, but I do think, just like people, some dogs just won't learn certain things. I can't learn to knit as hard as I try. You know, I want to knit, but I can't do it. It doesn't click in my brain. And I think it's the same thing with the dogs. There are certain tasks or certain things we ask that just doesn't click for them, and they're not going to learn it well. And if we insist that that is the only thing they can learn, or we deem that unlearnable, then that's not quite fair. It's just like people. Some people learn certain things, some people do not. And it's just the way that their brain operates.
So it doesn't have to do with breed per se, but more about the personality of the dog.
Absolutely. Of course, you have breeds that learn very, very quickly. You have other breeds that learn more slowly. I believe just the instincts, the breed itself, whatever their natural instincts are, is going to determine a bit on what they learn well and what how much that they can learn. Border collies, for example, you can get border collies with their repertoire of learning up to very, very high standard. You might not take a bloodhound up to that level of a border collie, but you certainly are not going to get the border collie down to the level of a bloodhound that can sniff and track. So I think the breed itself kind of determines what it's best capable of doing. And I think we need to encompass that in whatever decision of the dog that we have. We need to encompass what they can naturally do well, and then work that into our daily routine as part of what we do well is also.
Yeah, you know, that's a really good point. I think so many times people want to get their dream dog, and they have this thing in their mind that their dream dog is going to be, you know, Air Bud and be able to catch frisbees or go and hunt, and they just don't have the right dog for it. And I didn't even think about that. You got to have the right dog for the right situation, because, you know, my bulldog probably isn't going to want to go and hunt. You know, she wants to kind of hang out and do nothing. So that's a good point. You've got to understand what type of dog you're going to get and what type of dog you want to introduce into that lifestyle.
Now, basic good manners, things like, you know, being calm on a leash and meeting strangers, those basic good manners, any dog can learn. Any dog can learn to be a good house companion. But I think it's when we get to those very specific things is where we find the differences in the breed. I think any breed can become a good companion and good manners.
So that brings up my question about a good citizen. What does that mean? And can any dog be a good citizen?
Absolutely. Any dog can be a good citizen. The Canine Good Citizen Program is an AKC program that offers titling and certification so that you can actually get certificates and awards for that. But the basic techniques of Canine Good Citizen, any and every dog should be able to do. The Canine Good Citizen tasks are very, very simple tasks that we need to have our dogs do every day. Calmly accept petting. Your dog needs to stand calmly while someone walks up and pats the dog. That's part of the good citizen. Your dog should be able to sit when you ask it to sit. It should be able to go into a down position when you ask it. Your dog should be able to walk beside you and turn and stop when you do. So those are all the things that are part of the canine good citizen test. And all of those things are what we should expect our dogs to do in the environments that we put them in. That's just part of being a calm, you know, a calm dog. So you can take that dog anywhere.
Cool. So is there a place that we can go get more information about that? The good canine good citizen?
Absolutely. AKC.org has the information about all of the canine good citizen programs. There are levels from the Star Puppy, which is part of that program. You also have Canine Good Citizen Advanced and Canine Good Citizen Urban. All of those, putting your dogs in just everyday situation. Canine Good Citizen Urban, ask your dog to be able to walk along a sidewalk beside a busy street, things like that. So AKC.org has all of that information about the programs. And it also includes different facilities that are offering the test, as well as a list of CGC evaluators.
Very cool. So how do we go about finding a good trainer? I mean, what is it we're looking for? I mean, there are a lot of like PetSmart and, you know, anybody says they can be a trainer. How do we do this?
Well, first of all, you have to decide your training plan. Just like anything else, this is one of those things that you have to think about before you get your dog. What exactly do you want that dog to do? Do you want that dog to be the next agility national champion? If so, you're going to go through lots and lots and lots of days and weeks of training. Do you want your dog just to be able to go to the park with you and be a nice, calm dog? So once you've kind of decided what you want to train, then of course you're going to start looking for that type. AKC.org, again, has information regarding a lot of the local kennel clubs, the local places that do offer training and classes. Depending on where you are, would depend on how many choices that you might have. Here in the Lawrenceville area, of course, there's probably a number of choices. Sometimes you get a little further out, you do have to drive a ways to find a good source. Once you have a list of folks that you want to consider, then please check them out without the dog. Ask for tours, ask to observe a class with the trainer. All of those things are very important because you need to be able to know that your dog is in a safe environment, that you're in a safe environment to learn and ask questions. Not only AKC.org, you also could check with your vets. Vets offices usually have contacts with various trainers or various local organizations that can offer that training. You're right in that there's a number of choices out there. I think, again, it kind of comes back to the individual person and dog. If you've got a puppy, there's lots and lots of choices, and you have a lot of, maybe not a lot of, but you certainly have a little bit easier time possibly training your puppy because it's still young. It's still, you know, very eager to learn. You may have to be a lot more selective in your training choices if you're taking on an older dog where you need a little bit more distinct training to try to determine what obstacles you may have to overcome in order to continue training with that dog. Of course, you want to be sure that you are exploring both group class options as well as private trainer options. I do advocate that everyone be part of group training because it gives you a good support group. A lot of classes have experienced and non-experienced participants in them, so we can all learn from each other. I really, truly like a very diverse class when we're doing our group classes because there's a lot of information sharing, a lot of things we can learn, a lot of techniques or tricks. Everybody that's trained a dog, you have a few tricks that you always go to, and then every dog you train, you have to come up with something new because each one of them will train a little different.
And I imagine it's the support group for the parents because they come back and they've tried to get their dog to do some work over the week and they just can't get it to do it again, and they feel really dumb that they couldn't get the pup to do it again. But they're probably not the only ones in the class who are feeling that way.
Absolutely. We, in our puppy class, we, the first thing that we always say is the one tried and two test is that your patients are going to be tested highly. And that's true. We come in and some of the folks are like, oh, it's been a rough week. And then it's a time in a group where you can relax and know that, you know, we're not judging the behavior. We are observing. We're offering you suggestions and trying our best to figure a way that you and that dog is going to be the happiest. And so it's a great support, I think, in a group class.
Excellent. Excellent. I have just one more thought. We've had a couple of people ask about sending their dog to camp for a 2-week camp, which doesn't feel like it's the right answer because, as we've talked about already, the parents have to be part of the training. So, I mean, it would be like you send your kid to camp for 2 weeks and you expect them to be perfect, like a boarding school coming back. What do you think about situations like that?
Well, absolutely. You're right in that it does kind of seem if you send them away and they come back perfect. I do believe you and the dog have to be together in the training. You have to learn to speak dog. You have to learn your dog, what their body language is telling you, what they're communicating, the bond that you're creating with that dog. You have to be an active participant in it. The best training, I believe, occurs between you and the dog in a class together. Now, boarding facilities, there is certainly a use for them. If you have a dog that maybe say you get an adult dog that has come out of a very bad environment that may have some issues, a camp situation that will give that dog a brand new environment to settle into might be the answer because it takes them away and allows them to kind of shed that old environment, be trained and work in a safe environment, and then go on to something new. So the boarding training situation is certainly beneficial to some dogs. But I do think unless you can absolutely duplicate that boarding situation, a dog that's trained in away from you is going to learn something different than what they are learning with you.
That makes sense because it's you and the dog working together. And if you don't learn that bond, it would be, I think, very a waste of somebody's time, for sure.
Absolutely. Like we said in the beginning, training is about the entire behavior of the dog. If we're encompassing that entire behavior, we have to be part of that entire behavior. I also have very hesitant about my dog being away from my supervision. So if you are choosing a boarding facility, if you're choosing a board and train facility, please research it very, very carefully. Be sure to ask for tours, audit some of the training sessions. Be very informed when you make that decision of where to send your dog. Because again, you want to ensure your dog's safety and you want to ensure that your dog is being cared for in the best possible light.
And being in the trained in the mode that you have decided is best for your family.
Right. And Kathy, that brings me to a question. Judy, what's your suggestion for people that have issues with dogs, not necessarily, you know, outside of the home, but inside of the home? So for example, rushing the door when somebody comes to the door or barking when the doorbell rings and stuff like that. Is there a recommendation or a certain type of training that you would think to offer to somebody who has that type of issue? Is an in-house training something that's better than going somewhere and trying to learn? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, there are benefits to both. In-home training, if you're going to seek a private trainer for some in-home training, I think it's beneficial. In our group setting, as far as rushing the door, I'll speak to that. In our class, one of the things that we teach is a door control. So you take your dog, you approach the door, you put them in a sit, you open the door, and you wait, and then you step through the door. So if you teach that and continually reinforce and teach that, what you will find is that you can open the door and the dog will not rush the door. So if you start teaching that that technique and you are consistent in how you teach that technique, you will eventually find your dog not rushing the door. So if a dog, say, has been allowed to rush the door for so long that it's learned that rushing the door is okay, then it's going to take some time to scale that back and teach that door control. So the item that we teach, both in a group class, can be applied in an individual trainer. So that if you still have an issue with that and you get a private trainer, if I'm consulted on that and I'm your private trainer, the first thing I'm going to start teaching you is that door control. That very same thing that we teach in a group class, we're going to work teaching that door control as an individual.
Cool. So again, it goes back to the parent being fully aware of the needs and the strengths of their dog and the family environment and all of that to make it the best, happiest environment for everybody.
Absolutely. Your dog is continually learning. And sometimes they learn lessons that we don't actively teach. So if we ignore something long enough, the dog learns it's okay to do it. So sometimes our training has been inadvertently and not necessarily what we sought to train. So we have to be very mindful of that.
Yeah, I'm guilty. I'll just go ahead and say it right now. Guilty.
Oh, I am too. There's things that I'm just as guilty of because it's my dog, my house. I allow it to happen.
I hear you. My issue is I have three, you know, when I had one dog, she never rushed the door. When I got two dogs, when I got three, yeah, now it's a problem. So I'm going to ask these questions and tell myself that I'm not asking them about my own dogs, but we all know I am.
Well, probably if you could take a tape recording and rewind it to every action that was placed with each dog being added, you will likely find that at some point, one dog instigated the other and it wasn't caught quick enough to bring them both back. So now it's going to take a little time, but again, it just takes time, of working with it to keep it from happening and consistency. Training is about consistency. If we don't do it all the time, we're not going to be successful.
That's true. Judy, you have anything else that you'd like us to know?
Just that, every dog needs to be trained. And every trainer, every owner needs to have an open mind and be very educated on everything that's out there. There are different techniques for different issues, for different dogs, for different people. And so we just want to be open-minded, to be informed. Not every trainer has all of the answers. And if a trainer tells you they do, I would probably find yourself another trainer. I don't have all the answers, okay? No single trainer does. We have answers for we have good answers for most situations, but there will always be something that we will refer you to someone else who has more knowledge on. So information is key. Keep an open mind, keep yourself informed, and be consistent in whatever it is that you're trying to do with your dog.
Excellent. Excellent. This has been really interesting and very enlightening. I was looking at your bio and I find it interesting that you were petrified of dogs to begin with. And now here you are, which is kind of the way I was. I'd been bitten by dogs as a kid and didn't like dogs at all until the right one came into my life. And now here we are. So
absolutely. I was absolutely petrified. Never really exactly knew why. I just remember as a child, I was always hysterical. So Shelties, Shetland Sheepdogs, was what I was introduced to get over my fear. And I've loved them ever since. A lot of breeds out there, they're just darling. I'm very much, I've fostered mixed breeds as well. They're just as darling. But really, information is key, and learning, learning genetics, learning training, learning history, basic canine behavior. It's all about the information. And the more you know, the better you are in being that responsible owner that you need to be.
Excellent. Julia, have any other questions for Judy?
Not right now, but Judy, I'm sure we will be in touch in the future. And again, I'll ask all these questions in a hypothetical tone and just act like you believe me.
Absolutely. And my door is open to you, Julia. You can reach out to me. We'll certainly set up some training sessions for you. And if you need it, or if you have a friend that needs it, I'm sure we can get some
results. Be honest, Judy, I need it. I definitely need it.
We all need it at times. I've got one nail that's going to be a challenge.
Well, thank you so much, Judy.
You don't have to have a pedigree to be treated like a celebrity. At Camp Bow Wow.
Thanks to Camp Bow Wow Lawrenceville for being our sponsor for this episode again. And thanks to Judy Wilson for joining us. What did you think about all of that, Julia?
Well, it was exactly what I needed and then some. And as you guys, I'm sure our listeners are sitting here thinking, you know, Juliet, don't get another dog. Your dogs are terrible. Don't do it. But now that I've got Judy, I'm telling you, I'm going to be that fly that just never leaves her alone. Because that was everything I needed and then some.
She may be regretting.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. She's going to be horrified. You know, she did say, though, come by and see me anytime. So I'm going to hold her to it.
Yes, she did. In fact, she does offer private training through Misty Blue Obedience Training. So you need to remember that name, Misty Blue Obedience Training, Julia.
It's engraved in my brain.
So have you gotten any closer to what kind of family member you're going to add?
Yeah, I think I have. I think I am going to get another dog. I think that it would make sense for us right now, especially talking to Judy and learning, you know, I think the pressure that I put on myself was I know I have some work to do with the three I have. Everybody does, you know, it's a constant battle every day. You've got to make your dogs better every day and stick to it. But Judy helped put some ease to me and said, you know, work on one at a time. That's how you train multiple animals. It's not all together. And I think with her help and me adding on a new dog to my family and having her help me with the training, that I can do this, and it's something I want to do. Now, the one thing I'm still not sure of is the breed. I think we're going to need to dive deeper and really explore some of these breeds that are out there because, you know, as you heard Judy mention, every dog is quote unquote trainable. It's just every dog has a different personality.
Right, right. So that leads us into probably the next two episodes of this podcast are the different breeds. We plan to talk about the top 10 AKC breeds and then bring in less AKC, more everyday breeds like Doodles, some very popular breeds like that who aren't in the top 10 for the AKC. But I'm excited about that. I love doing research about stuff, so that'll be fun.
Me too.
So great. I appreciate you being with us, Judy and Julia. This is Kathy Stone.
And I am Julia Elliott.
And we are All About
Dog.
See you next time.
Bye, guys.
Bye.